And I think I have to check with, by golly, we are joined, I believe, by our labor expert, Tony Lee. Are you there, Tony?
I am, Phil. How are you doing?
Oh, very good, and good to talk to you. Okay, the educational workers, we're told, they are continuing to work. There is a tentative settlement, if I got this right, and the vote will be Thursday. Is that so? And what do you, what's it looking like from your vantage point?
There's a tentative agreement that was announced yesterday. Voting from the 55,000 members is going to be done online, I believe, from Thursday to Sunday. There was a live video this morning. Laura Walton, the head of the School Board Council of Unions for QP, had a live message to her members saying that everybody would get all of the details and be able to review it and vote, and that it was going to be up to the members. And she said in a very forthright way that there were things they didn't like about the agreement. The technical language she used is that it sucks. She said she couldn't say how much it sucks because it was a public video.
Did she use that kind of phrasing?
Yes, that's exactly what she said. She said, I can't say what I really think about it in a public video. It's clear that they didn't meet their initial objectives of a wage increase that would bring them to a livable wage and more staff in the schools. The settlement that people are voting on is for $1 an hour for every worker each year of the four-year contract, which works out on average to 3.59%. And when you look at the current inflation rate, you know that 3.5% is only half of what the inflation rate is. So it's not really a wage increase at all, especially after 10 years of falling behind inflation. And the comments that I've been reading on their Facebook page, I recognize that it's not a scientific poll by any means, but there are many, many members saying that they're going to vote no, that they want the government to understand that this is not acceptable. And it was very clear listening to Laura Walton that she's saying it's really up to the members. She wants the members to make the decision. She credited the members with what they've achieved so far, building solidarity from other workers, building support from parents. She said that was all up to the work the members did, and this decision is going to be up to the members. And it, to me, as an auto worker, it's so refreshing to hear a union leader talk about an agreement that's going to be voted on in those terms, because what I'm used to is somebody standing up at the front and saying, this is the best contract in history. But we're not giving you any details. Just vote on it quickly.
Yes.
So, I liked it.
Yeah, the internet has changed the way we understand. And by the way, so far, I'm putting it in the plus column. That there's so much you can learn quickly, which might have taken weeks or days. And when the heat is on, as you say, with a contract, people would like to have a lot of detail, particularly if they're being asked to vote. But also they want to kind of get an assay how their various leaders are reacting, the ones they respect. I mean, after all, you have a bargaining committee, and you may like some of them, and you may not like the others. So you want to say, what did Frankie say? Did he say it was good? That kind of thing.
Right.
Tell us where you found that, and isn't there a little wrinkle there that you want to share?
Sure. So the union, which is the OSBCU, and in French it's CSCSO, they have a Facebook group. So that's where you can find it on Facebook. That's where Laura Walton has been posting video messages to her members and other updates. And there was a video there, 9-minute video this morning. And at some point, during the day, it disappeared. And I don't know why. If I've just been scrolling through the messages or the comments, because there are hundreds of comments from members on the on that post, and several of them are asking, where did the video go? But nobody has answered that.
And nobody's answered.
I have no idea.
Maybe the questions will also go away. No, that's really important, and I'm so glad you mentioned it. And I do think people just go, like they should go to Fred Hahn. All you have to, you know is the name Fred Hahn. I could tell you it's at Fred Hahn QP, but these are, I think, very talented, well-spoken leaders, and they're laying out information, and people are replying. This is much more democratic phenomenon than most of us have ever seen. I want to ask you, I saw a word, somebody was commenting, as you did, that, well, you know, okay, it's a four-year contract, and it's a dollar a year, I believe you said. And
yes.
And somebody said, well, look at inflation. Why don't we have indexing? Talk about, why don't we have indexing? Why isn't that a demand?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's I guess different ways of going about it. Clearly, the original objective of the workers was to increase their wages so that they would be at a livable level. The average education worker in this bargaining unit today makes $39,000 a year, which is not enough to live on. And indexing, of course, was part of the gains of the labor movement at one time. A lot of it has been chipped away and taken away. And then on top of that, the Ontario government for the last two or three years imposed 1% caps on what could be bargained in the public service, which is in effect imposing a wage cut every year. And so these workers have lived through that and are trying to recover. The one potentially positive thing about the $1 an hour across the board is that it gets away from what Doug Ford was trying to impose of different percentage increases for different groups of workers, the tiered approach where he was, you know, saying that lower paid workers were going to get 2.5% and the higher paid workers were going to get 1.5%, and it was inequitable, but it was also deceptive because it turned out that there were so many conditions on getting the higher rate that far less than half of the workers were going to get the higher rate. So this is at least clearer.
He
lost that point. Everybody gets the same wage increase under this offer, although it's, you know, I think that most people would agree it's inadequate. And it looks like a lot of the from the comments I'm reading, a lot of the members are saying it's not adequate.
And just one more time, just on that matter, there was a time when we all talked about indexing.
Yes.
And I just would like to see that word creep back into the conversation. Your union and others fought very hard on that point.
Yes. Yeah. In the auto industry for quite a while, the basic collective agreement principle of the union, which was achieved for a long time, was to have indexing for inflation plus a wage increase on top of that.
Good.
Which was considered to be compensation for productivity increases.
Yes, and do I remember speaking to you previous, and this is Tony Lee, who's a labor scholar as well as a member of Unifor, that went away because of the great economic crisis, right?
Yes.
When we wanted to save the companies, the poor little companies that, you know, that we all depend upon like little mice. In order to help them out, that stuff went out the window. They decided, okay, we won't index. Is that right?
That is correct. Let no crisis go to waste.
Yeah, that's not our slogan. It's the capitalist slogan.
That's
their slogan. Could we borrow that back?
Their slogan, indeed. They took opportunity of an economic downturn that was impacting the auto industry in 2008, 2009, to impose drastic cuts on wages. That's when they introduced the tier system, where workers start at 60% of the going wage and take 8 or 10 years to get up to equal pay. They took away indexing from retirees who had retired with the promise of indexed pensions. They took away cost of living indexing for active workers. And sure enough, as I think anybody could have predicted, a year later, the companies were making immense profits again. In fact,
Immediately said, we'll reinstate indexing.
And they have reinstated nothing, none of that.
Well, isn't that also roughly, if we're going to date these things from your presidents of Unifor and some others, sort of fell in love with the way capitalists reasoned. And they themselves began to talk about cooperating and being partners. We're partners.
The partnership idea with corporations is something that Buzz Hargrove promoted, and people will remember that former president of the auto workers. The most recently passed president, who left in disgrace, Jerry Diaz, was in that up to his eyeballs, and even said, that you couldn't negotiate things that would make it better for workers if it threatened the health of the corporations.
That's called crossing the line.
That's
who are you working for?
It begs the question: whose side are you on? Side are you on? As the song goes.
Yeah, you could sing that almost. Yes.
And I've got one quote from a few years ago, because retired workers in the auto industry haven't had an increase in their pensions since 2007.
2007. Okay.
So people who retired in 2007 or before 2007 have exactly the same pension today as they did 15 years ago, and have lost 36% of the value of their pension to inflation. And those workers were demanding an increase.
That's right. You were at the convention, and you got the attention of the leaders.
We have been pushing it still, but a few years ago, when retirees were demanding that, Jerry Diaz's comment was, "Well, we can't increase pensions because some of those retirees are making more than newly hired workers."
Yes, he arranged that.
Which he arranged. So he's agreed to a contract where newly hired workers are being paid such a low, pitiful wage.
Half of what the other employees doing the same job. Yes.
That now he can't bring himself to argue for an increase for retirees.
Well, he really did learn the old idea of divide and conquer.
Well, that's what it is.
Because that's what Ford was doing. Oh, I'm really interested in those low-paid guys.
Yeah.
Really, that's who I care about. Yeah. Well, that's the problem. It's being sitting too close to the devil when you're having soup. You got to be careful. We're talking to Tony Leo. I'm going to change now. I'm going to call you a labor scholar, and don't be offended. And there's also today teachers' assistants and research assistants are on strike as of today at McMaster University.
That's correct. They've also been subject to the wage caps that the provincial government introduced. They are precarious workers in every sense of the term. They're trying to complete their graduate degrees and working as teaching assistants to you know, to try to make some money to get through, and have not been able to get increases for a long time, and are demanding greater job security and an increase in wages. Mm-hmm. And
there are 3,000 of them. That's local QP 3906 people. Again, this is the internet is there for you. It's I know that Twitter, Hamilton Labor, at Hamilton Labor, you can find out about it, and at QP_3906, you can be up to date. And I think, Tony, you mentioned that already you can see they're filming their picket lines and speaking.
Yep, yeah, they're very spirited, great picket lines around McMaster University, a very wealthy institution, by the way, and QP3906 has been pointing out that McMaster has been making money. They're not losing money. And they pointed out that the bargaining unit, the TAs and research assistants, are one-third of the workforce at McMaster, but their wages account for only 3.7% of the payroll.
And they are one-third of the workforce.
So one
let's keep the university going.
Of the workforce. Yep.
Do we know what stage are they engaged in? Do we know anything about the bargaining status?
They've been bargaining. They didn't get very far. Talks broke down over the weekend, and so the strike deadline was as of this morning, and they've been on strike since this morning.
Hmm.
So I haven't heard more about the bargaining. The president of the local is Chris Fairweather, very progressive student of labor studies, appropriately, my department. And I was a member of that local for a year.
You wear a lot of hats. This is Tony Hats. Tony Hats Leah.
And, so I'm very keen to see them get some justice.
By the way, does he have a Twitter account? Can people find that?
I would think so. I haven't looked at it, but I'm sure that he does.
Okay.
If you look for QP3906, you'll find their contact information, good. I'm sure.
See, everybody should be right on top of this and use the internet now to keep track of these struggles and what people are saying. Because, you know, Tony, I have to say, we've talked about with you about all these matters, and you've raised the matter of indexing previous. I saw someone today saying, I don't see why we're not fighting to have the indexing because we're not catching up with inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't read that in the Toronto Star, Globe and Mail, or anywhere else. It was a worker who...
Yes.
On the internet.
Yes.
Who I much more I prefer him to the whole entire editorial staff of the Toronto Star. I would like more interested in his opinion, or hers, or theirs.
Yes.
Yeah. Tony Leah, it's been great talking to you, and thank you for all this information. I think it's great that you told us something that here's this outstanding leader, Walton. Is it Laura Walton?
Laura Walton, on Twitter, she's...
She gave a great talk, and it was on YouTube, and you found it informative and convinced and persuasive, and it's not there anymore.
that is right. Not sure where it went. But,
yeah. Well,
Walton Mom is her Twitter handle.
Yeah. Well, everybody should write to her and ask her to please post it again.
Put it back up there.
Yeah. Well, Tony, thank you very, very much. It's been very informative, and we're gonna ride this issue of the indexing, and particularly tying it in with the collapse of 2008?
Yes.
Okay, because I think this is very revealing. I do appreciate it. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay, bye-bye.